Okay, we're on Daf Yud Ches and Aleph, the new Mishnah. Is that the right Daf? You're on?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I even got to the Mishnah, that's good.
So the Mishnah says, Masulo Zakenim, Mizikne Beistin. So they gave him over some members of the elder people from the Sanhedrin. They gave him over the Kohen Gadol to these individuals. The Kohen Lefanov, Seder Hayom, and in front of the Kohen Gadol, they read the whole Seder Hayom, all the events that are going to take place on Yom Kippur. And look at Rashi. Rashi in the Mishnah, it's a little bit lower down than where we are. He says, Kohen Lefanov, Seder Hayom, Parshas Achrimos, V'chein Kol Shivas Hayamim. He says, Achrimos only, and the entire 7 days this took place. Chazing Achrimos. So some Rishonim or Achronim say it's not only do they read Achrimos like Rashi says, but he had to also be familiar. Remember, Achrimos only discusses the unique avodas of Yom Kippurim, the Shnei Seirim, the Par Shel Aaron, but it didn't discuss how the Tamid was brought and any of the Ketores and Halakos and Eros. So some Achronim say not only do they teach Achrimos, but they taught all the avodas that took place on the day of Yom Kippurim. Even the regular daily routines like the Tamid and the Ketores were also taught to the Kohen Gadol during these 7 days. And the Mishnah continues and says, "V'omrim lo," and they say to the Kohen Gadol, "Ishe Kohen Gadol." Ishe is like a lashon of Adoni, my master, sir, Kohen Gadol. Kara atabificha. So you should go read. Let's learn something. Because read Achrimos. Because Shema Shechachto, Shema Lolamata. Maybe you forgot what you learned, or maybe you never even learned at all the Avodah Yom Kippurim. The Gemara asked that question exactly. Gemara is going to ask that question. The Kohen Gadol, you didn't learn anything? Okay, you could forget. That understand. People forget, but never have learned to be the Kohen Gadol. The Gemara will address that. Erev Yom Kippurim, what happens, says the Mishnah? Shacharis Mamidinoso Beshar Mizrach. In the morning, they would stand the Kohen Gadol next to the eastern gate. Umavir in Lefanov, and they'd pass in front of them, Parim, the cows, Vayolim, the rams, the Kvasim, the sheep. Why? This way he'll recognize and be comfortable with the Avoda, the different animals. It's going to be a very, very busy day. The Kohen Gadol does not have a moment to breathe. So to get comfortable, this is a goat, this is a sheep, this is a ram, and we just really get him comfortable in this zone of doing the Avoda. So it says the, I remember correctly, I didn't get a chance to look this up when I learned this a few years ago. I spent this Zman in Hawaii learning this. So there's a machlokas, I think, Rashi and others showed him what the purpose of this was for. Was it either that simply to regulate him, to get him comfortable and used to these things? Or in fact, the 7 days of preparation, there was actually a chiv to do the avoda, to do all these things, as not simply a chinuch, but actually a chiv. The 7 days are really somehow... I'm not sure exactly how to phrase it, but I think not simply to regulate, but kind of like mitzvah chinuch, for example. The mitzvah chinuch for a child in general, is the idea simply to regulate the son from doing this, or the chum create a chiv on the father to implement mitzvahs to his children? That's the machlokas Rishon, Rashi tells us. I think there's the same machlokas when it comes to here also. Is it simply to regulate him, or they created this chiv to perform avoda, to learn all these dinim 7 days before Yom Kippur? So from this mission, it sounds like it's a din in Ragyub Avodah, simply to regulate him, not necessarily a chiv to do it. So I guess the nafkamina would be, not nafkamina, but if he were not to do these 7 days, would he violate any chiv chachamim at all? Or just missed an opportunity of regulating himself in the Avodah. So Mishnah continues and says, Kol Shivas Hayamim, all 7 days, lo hayu monim imenu maichul Mishnah. They wouldn't hold back any food or drink. He could eat and drink anything he wants during the 7 days. However, Erev Yom Kippurim, Im Chashecha, right before dark, what we'll call a Sudas HaMafsekes, Lo HaYumanichen Oso Lechel Harbe, you can't eat a lot, Bifnei Shemachel Mevias Hashena, because eating a lot brings laziness, it makes him fall asleep, and we don't want that to happen. We make him stay up all night, as we'll see in another Gemara. So he can't eat a lot, Erev Yom Kippurim. Says the Gemara, Bishma Shema Shachach L'chayet. I understand you asked the question, the Kohen Gadol. We say to the Kohen Gadol, listen, you have to learn the Achrimos, or you have to learn all the Avodah, because maybe you forgot, and maybe you never learned. So Gemara says, I understand a person could forget. Even a Kohen Gadol who could be so great, he could forget. He's only human. Ela Shema L'lamad. maybe you never learned. Me, Makbinan, Kiagavna, do we make such a Kohen Gadol who never learned Achrei Mos, he could be a Kohen Gadol? Doesn't make any sense. V'hatanya, the Brisa teaches us, V'hakohen HaGadol Me'achav, says the Pasuk in Emor. The Kohen who's greater than his brothers. What does that mean? Shehei Gadol Me'achav B'koach. He has to be greater than his brothers in strength, Benoy, in beauty, B'chachman, wisdom, U'v'osher, and in wealth. So clearly, he can't be an unlearned person unless he lives in a family who everyone is in learned, but he has to be someone who's very chachma, has a lot of chachma, who's very smart, knows Achrei Mos at least. The Achayim Omim, others say, continuing the Braisa, Minayin Sh'im Ein Lo She'achim Ha'kon Megal Noso. How do you know if the Kohen Gadol, let's say he has all the qualities, he's very handsome, and he's very strong, and he's very smart, but he's not very wealthy, he didn't do very well in business. How do you know that the brothers are supposed to give him money to make him rich? Tamil Omar, about Kohen Gadol Me'achav, that he's greater than his brothers, galu mishal achiv, that his brothers should galu, should be magdil him, should raise him up financially, should give him the money so he becomes the wealthiest of the brothers. So either way, we see from this Gemara that he has to be learned, he has to have chachma to be the Kohen Gadol. How could there be such a happening in the Mishnah to say, listen, Ishe Kohen Gadol, maybe you never learned before, learn Achrei Mos now.
So the limud is me'echav means that it's taking away from his brothers.
Exactly.
The limud is on the mem.
Exactly, from the brothers, exactly. Says the Gemara. So what's the difference? So what have you explained this Mishnah? Rav Yosef lo kasha kan b'mikdash rishon kan b'mikdash sheni. No, one time at mikdash rishon, our brisa that we just quoted that you have to have chachma as one of the qualities of the Kohen Gadol. That's talking about mikdash rishon where we had very good Kohen Gadolim. But when it comes to mikdash sheni, like we already saw like a week ago, that was very corrupt. Used to buy the Kohen Gadola. So there, you didn't need that quality. And that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Maybe during Bayis Sheni, they would say, maybe you never learned because you bought the post of being Kohen Gadol, and that's why they have to say, Shem Elo Lamadta. And the Gemara brings a riot for this. The Amar Rabbi Asi, Tarkava de Dinari, this coin, Ailele brought in Marsa, the Bas Baisusa, the Marsa, the daughter of Baisusa, she brought in, she paid off the government or whoever made the decisions, Leyanai Malka, Hulal Yaina Maika. She paid him off al de okme li Yeshua ben Gamla de kind of Ravrave to make Yeshua ben Gamla the Kohen Ravrave the big, the Kuna Gdola. So we see the story that she had paid off the this position, and Yeshua ben Gamla apparently wasn't worthy of it, and he wasn't learned. So we see the Bayis Sheni was very corrupt, and it was very likely that a Kohen Gadol did not have has never learned the Achrei Mos.
It's confusing because it's like Beit Rishon, the Shekhinah was in Beit HaMikdash. In Beit Sheni, I assume as well, but in less of a quantity or quality. But still, because Kadosh Baruch Hu let it happen, such a corruption. So you think maybe he left the Beit HaMikdash. It's not there. Basically, it's empty. Like today, we'll go into a building and we'll make it Beit HaMikdash without the Shekhinah itself. But at the same time, the Kohen Gadol would die at that day. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu is there, but it let it happen, all that right. Games. Like
he certainly was there. The question, as you said, what quantity and what quality was he there? But he was there enough, I guess, to have the Kohen Gadol die after entering the Kodesh Kodashim inappropriately.
Why to create a situation to appoint number one somebody that's not qualified or not,
I couldn't answer.
Including the
guy who thinks I'm going to walk into that table, and I'm going to walk in and I'm going to walk out, even if I got the job by buying. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't intervene, right? He lets us make decisions. So there's an interesting Rashi in Tainus that says, not only when it came to Kohen Gadol did we encourage the brothers, or perhaps even require the brothers to make him the wealthiest among the brothers. Rashi in Tainus says, when a person is appointed Rosh Yeshiva, we also have to support him to become a wealthy individual, to become Rosh Yeshiva, based on the sugi here by Kohen Gadol. And explains Rashi in Sotah, he says the same thing, but he adds a reasoning, because why do you make them wealthy? Why is this a necessary quality of a Kohen Gadol, and also by extension to Rosh Yeshiva? Because by making them wealthy, it makes them a chasha person, and by making a chasha person, they're respected among their peer, among the Talmidim of the Yeshiva, of the community. So it's an interesting extension. The Tashbeit says this also, not only Rosh Yeshiva, but any parnes, any leader we have, should also be paid in a nice salary in a way that he should be considered chashuv and respected by the people.
Are you trying to say something?
Yes. So Now, also, the Machlokas Fas Emes in the Rambam. Let's say during Bayis Sheni, it happened to be a very big town Chacham was appointed to be Kohen Gadol. Either he paid off, he bought the post as Kohen Gadol, and he happened to know something, or someone bought it for him, or they appointed a Kohen Gadol who actually knew. So as Fas Emes says, in such a case, you wouldn't say to the Kohen Gadol, Kara Tavaficha Shema Shechachta O Shema Lalmata, because you did learn. They'll just say Shema Shechachta. Maybe you forgot, so let's just do some Chazara. Rambam says no, it's a little plug that across the board, once the Bayis Sheni came in, regardless of who the Kohen Gadol was, we always say, maybe you never learned. Even though they may have learned, he still says, you say, nonetheless, maybe you never learned. Just a side point.
That, it makes sense because they probably didn't want to insult the Kohen Gadol. So if they made it as a rule to say to everybody, then at least...
Well, they may want to insult the Kohen Gadol. If the guy,
right, but in a way, I assume they didn't. Right. So in a way, you say, okay, you know what, this is what we tell everybody, and that's it.
Right.
So as Yishan points out, the Shuv and Gamla, we see his name in other places. Yishan is actually a chashuv, pretty chashuv person. He made a takana in regards to teaching the kids Torah.
Ah, more about Basra, right?
Yeah. And he says he brings another Gemara later on about making the garments. Mentioned Mishloach. He just says that he wasn't
as good as
the biggest. Right. He wasn't the biggest. Uh-huh. To be all we're bringing a raya from there is that that it wasn't necessarily the greatest one, Gadol Me'achiv by Yishen.
What do you mean, that last point?
That all we're bringing a raya from is that it wasn't necessarily the greatest by Yishen.
But not that he was bad.
Not that he was bad.
Uh-huh. Or I thought maybe the raya may have been that simply that they bought the positions. Either he may have been worthy of it.
He also says that Yanai HaMelech was the one who killed all the Chachamim. He was a Rasha, but it says that it's probably not the same Yanai HaMelech, because Yanai HaMelech kept it the Kuna for himself.
Right.
So this must be somebody else.
Okay. So says the Gemara, continuing halfway down, Erev Yom HaKippurim Shachris. Erev Yom HaKippurim during the Shachris, Tana Afasirim. So we see the Mishnah listed, they would bring the cows, and they bring rams, they bring sheep. The goats were also a pretty central theme of the day. There are two goats, they had the goral, they picked which goat, Sir Lashem, Sir Lazazel. Why didn't they pass in front of them the goats? So you should be quite familiar with what a goat is. So the Bryce says, yeah, they also passed in front of the Kohen Gadol what the goats look like. Tani Didan, my time alone. Tani Sirim. Why didn't our Mishnah teach Sirim then? They left it out.
What is Sirim?
Sirim is a goat, a sa'ir.
Oh, goat.
Yeah.
Sair, everybody's sair. All the animals are sair.
All the what?
All the animals.
Animals are sair, yeah?
Sair means sairot, no? We're showing hair.
No, but they call it, at least in the Chumash, sair.
Ah, sair is a goat.
Sair is hair. Sair is a goat in the...
Same letters.
Yeah, no, same letter, but it's pronounced differently. Sair versus sair. Sair is not goat in Hebrew?
Not that I know.
No? How do you say goat?
Kisa, Ez. I'm not sure which one is what.
Well, Ez is also a goat.
Goat is Ez.
But so it's both of them.
But now say, right. Yeah.
Kisa is a sheep.
Right.
Kisa is a sheep.
Ez is a goat.
Ez is a goat. So what is Sair?
Sair is also a goat. The two different words, I think, for the same animal.
Yeah.
But I guess in modern day Hebrew, it's only an Ez. Okay. So, says the Gemara, so again, my time of low Tanasirim, why didn't our Mishnah teach Sirim? Why didn't they pass the goats in front of the Kohen Gadol according to our Mishnah? Explain to the Gemara, came into Al-Chet Ka'asu, Chal Shadaitik. Since the Sayer, the goat was brought because it's supposed to be Mechaper and all of Klal Yisrael, it is Chalisha Sadas to the Kohen Gadol. That he's doing a whole avoda and he's concerned that there's so many chatam out there and the Klai Yisrael isn't doing full tshuva, he's going to have a little bit of chlishes adas and won't be going in the proper simcha and the proper confidence. See, hachi, that's the case. It's because the mentioning of the remembrance of sins is going to give him chlishes adas. Parnami achet hudasa. The cow also, the Parsha Kohen Gadol, the Parsha Aaron is brought for the Kohen Gadol. And the second par is brought for the entire Sheva Kuna. So that also comes on Chet. So you shouldn't put the cow in front of him either. That's going to bring Chalisha Sadas. Explains the Gemara. Par came into Allah of Achva Kohanim Hudasi. So since the cow comes for the purpose of the Kohen Gadol himself and for his entire family and all Sheva Kuna, so if there is a Kohen among the family that has a milsa, that has something there, meaning a vera, he would know. The Kohen Gadol would know. They were so close. He would know, looking at them, that there's something wrong. Listen, there's a chet here. Do tshuva. He can at least encourage them to do the proper tshuva because they're all in his presence. They're all around him. But the problem is, the Sayer, which was brought to be mechaper for the entire Klai Yisrael, the Bekuli Yisrael lo yada, but he doesn't know all of Klai Yisrael. It's impossible for the Kohen Gadol to know every single member of Klai Yisrael. So he can't encourage them to inspire them to do any tshuva. So that brings mechalish shizdas. There's nothing I can do about it. It's not in my hands to convince them. And he's bringing a Sayer to mechaper for a person who didn't do tshuva. That brings mechalish shizdas. So that's why, according to our Mishnah, at least, they did not pass the goats in front of the Kohen Gadol. Amar Ravina, Ravina says, Hainu dami inchi, this is what people would say. So I don't know. I never understand these Haini Damar Inches. Any English translations of what this means? Or even Hebrew and understandable Hebrew?
Well, where are we? Haini Damar Inches.
That,
Im Ben Achotcha.
Your nephew, son of your sister.
Shoter Hamelechu.
Shoter Daile. Okay, he's the... He's the, let's say
the
police,
the guard.
Have you chazi b'shuka?
Re'eh al tavor lefanav b'shuk.
Don't go in front of him.
Shemitoch sheben achotcha makircha, bakihu beoshrecha ubeshar inyanecha, umotze lila likvot mimcha mamon letovat hamemshala.
Ah, well, Rashi, right. Since he knows you well, he says, I know what your finances are like. I'm going to come collect the money from you.
Right.
So if you're familiar with somebody, don't go in front of them because it's going to, you know, there'll be bad news for you.
Right.
Here too, also, I guess passing the goat in front of them. So since you know he's makir, rather if he's makir, I think the Kohanim,
right.
He knows his family well. So bring the part in front of them. I said, I know you, Shimon. You did something wrong. It's time to do tshuva. So he's able to bring the part in front of him. And he could stomach that because he could know he could convince others to do tshuva. But to be expected to know all of Klai Yisrael, what various different people did, that would be impossible. That would cause Mechalisha Sadas.
So the Mechalisha Sadas is on the thought that this has to be brought because of the fact that Averis were being done in Klai Yisrael.
And he couldn't help inspire people to do tshuva. I think that's the idea.
I don't know why I was thinking like Mechalisha Sadas had something to do with the Chit Egel or something.
Right.
That wouldn't be Shaykh Basir.
Right. Be Shaykh Tapar, if any, right.
Because I think we learned in a lot of places that when Bnei Israel are to Chataim, the Kohen Gadol is responsible because he didn't daven well enough
for them.
We saw it in a few places we see that, right? I think.
I only remember by the Rotzeach Peshogeg.
That the Kohen Gadol didn't daven well enough.
Right, it was his fault. That's why, right. Depending on his death, the Rotzeach could leave the
Aramiklat,
right. Yeah. Okay, says the Gemara now. Kol Shivas Hayamim Lo Hayumonim V'chulei. So all 7 days, we didn't hold back any food. He could eat and drink anything he wanted. So says the Gemara, Tanya Rabbi Yehuda ben Nekusa Omer, Ma'achilin also saltos ubeitzim. They would feed him some type of flour base, right? Soles, saltos, beitzim, and eggs. Kedei l'misamsimo, in order to...
go to the bathroom.
Go to the bathroom. To clean out his bodily fluids. So that's apparently would help you go to the bathroom. They would say to him, Kol shekein sha'ata mavili dechimim. That's certainly, that these types of food brings chimim, and chimim is going to lead to carry, and we don't want that to happen ever, but we don't want it to certainly happen in Yom HaKippurim.
Actually, it's the opposite here. It says Rashi, Tosfot HaRosh. What is HaRosh?
It's one of the Rishonim on the...
It's Makshe Alav, because this type of food is not Meshalshli. It doesn't make you go to the bathroom. The opposite. It's Anisei Atzirut.
Stops you over the bathroom.
Stops, exactly.
Constipating.
And because of that, you will not need to go to the bathroom. Uh-huh. Not the opposite.
Okay. So the problem is, so this helps. He cleans out his body, so he won't have to go to the bathroom on Yom HaKippurim. The problem is, it has a negative effect that it causes chimim, causes warmth, and that might lead to keri. So that was the response, they said. So you shouldn't feed it to them, apparently, these eggs and flour. Tanya Sumchas Amar, Sumchas said, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Ein Machil Naso Lo Avi, we'll get to them what it means in a second, Amri Le Lo Avavi, you don't, it's Rashi tables for certain foods, you don't serve either these three or four foods to the Kohen Gadol. V'yesh Omrim, Af Lo Yain Lavan, V'lo Avi, they add Yain Lavan to the mix as well. So what do these things stand for? Lo Esog, you don't give an Esog deed, V'lo Beitzim, V'lo Yain Yashan. So those three, that's what Avi stands for. Avi Aleph Esog, Beis Beitim, Yud Yayin Yashin. You don't serve Esog, eggs, and old and aged wine. Amrilei, others say, what was the added Beis in the other Prince of Avavi? There was two vases. Amrilei, lo Avavi, lo Esog, lo Beitim, lo Basar Shamein, lo Yayin Yashin. He adds to the mix, you don't even give him to eat fat meat. V'yesh Omim, the last pin held, af lo yayin lavan, not white wine either, mipneshe hayayin lavan mevi es adam li de tuma. It leads person to tuma, namely, carry. So these three, four, or five things should not be fed to the Kohen Gadol, Erev Kippur, because it leads to perhaps carry. Tanu Rabbanan. Zav, tolin lo b'maychel, v'chol mina maychel. So when it comes to Zav, a man who has some type of liquid that comes from his body, so if it comes from another source, like food, we don't assume that came from the sickness that he has currently. So look at Rashi, Zav tolin lo b'maychel, what does it mean tolin lo b'maychel? So im achal machal harbe mikol minshehu, he eats a particular type of food, he eats a lot of the food. Tolin lomar, we assume to say, shemachmas rov machal ra, and it's because of the amount of food that he ate caused him to see this zav, this ziva, ve'eno zav lo tumas shiva in the carbon. But it doesn't count in terms of the zav for a carbon. So the din is if a man sees ziva three times, he has to count 7 days, he's tummy for 7 days, not count rather, he's tummy for 7 days and brings a carbon at the end. But it's only if it comes because of some disease or sickness, I don't know exactly what causes it. But if he eats a lot of food, let's say a lot of eggs or a lot of wine, a lot of fat meat, and he sees ziva, that ziva will not be considered a tuma ziva. That's because of food. The Gemara continues, Elazar ben Pinchas Omer, Yishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Ein Machin also, other things you don't feed the Kohen Gadol, lo chagvi, lo gavam. He adds another three, total of seven things together. What are these? V'chol lochol dvarm ha-mevin li dei tumah. And nothing else either that might lead to tumah. So what do these things stand for? Lo chagvi, lo chalav, lo gvina, lo beitza. You don't feed him milk, cheese, or beitza. These things lead to tumah. Further, lo yain, lo gavam. Or wine also you don't feed him. But lo gavam, what are the another three things you don't feed him? Me grisim shel pool. So what's may grisim shel pool?
Amayim ha-yotzim migrisei pulim.
Okay, types of, what are they, beans of some sort?
Yeah, pool is, forget about it. No, makes you a lot of gas.
Uh-huh. What is this, like regular beans, or it's like snow peas? What is it?
It's kind of some kind of, okay. The round things, I don't know.
A lima bean? Lima bean, okay. So lima bean, basar, shamin, fat meat, u-murais. What's murais?
Umurais.
What is it? Is that English?
Shumandagin.
Okay, fish oil.
Yeah.
Below called Varm Ha Mavin Lide Tuma. Nothing else that leads to Tuma. Okay, so what's this last? We listed seven things. And we said anything else? So what's the anything else? The Lasui Mai, what's that coming to include? Lasui to include the following Hadu Tanur Abana, that which the Brisa teaches us. Chamisha Dvar Mavin Es Adam Lide Tuma. There are
but
five
this
things.
This is in regards to Zaf.
This, I think, is in regards to now back to the Kohen Gadol.
No, it's going back to Kohen Gadol.
We had a list of three, four, five things. We added another seven things on top of it. Now we're adding another five things. The five things lead a person to Tumah.
Shem Achrim et Azav.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Chagvi.
Chagvi. Peru Shem Achrim et Azav.
Lo Chalav, Lo Chinalo, yeah.
Why don't we feed the Azav Kibbe every once? I thought we just spirit tolen.
No, because that's an example of Rogvin to Tumah.
At least Tumah, not, oh, and then.
And then you connect it to the Kohen Gadol as well.
The Hagosa Gra took out that line about Zav by mm-hmm. Tana Rabban and Zav Tolmo B'Maychal. The Hagosa Gra took that whole line out, and then the next line, according to the Gra's gear, so would have been a Hemshech on what you don't feed to the Kohen.
That makes more sense. Ah.
That one?
Right.
It makes more sense, because why should we.
Okay.
I have the Gra is the line about Zav, so then I guess he touched the
right.
continuation.
So there's that also, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, now the Gemara, whether we're talking about Zav or talking about a Kohen Gadol, so there's another Brisa that includes five more things. The last line of Amun Aleph says again, the Tana Rabbanan, Chamisha Dvar Mevin Es Adam Lidei Tuma. There are five foods that leads a person to Tuma, Ve'eluhen, Hashum. Okay, one second. Vashechlaim, what's a Shechlaim?
It's hot pepper.
Hot pepper. Ve'chalgalugos.
It's some type of growing as well.
Grass. Okay. The beitzim eggs, the gargir. What's gargir?
Gargir means chardal.
It's a mustard. Mustard.
Type of mustard.
White mustard.
Uh-huh. Okay, so these things also a person
all
should
spices.
Eat. Spices, okay. Yeah. They affect the digestive system and the body. And the Gemara continues to say, V'yatza echad el asadeh lalakit oros. Pasuk, where is this? Malachim? You get the Malachim beis yet? So you went out to gather oros, okay? And Tana Mishmei Dereb Meir ze gargir. Oros means gargir, which we said was some type of mustard seed. And Amar B'Yochanan Lama Nikra Shemen Sheman Oros. Why is it called Oros? Why are mustard called Oros? Shemeiros S.A.9. Apparently it lightens, it brings a vision back to the eyes. Okay? So Amar Rav Huna, Gargir, this mustard, Im Yachol Ochlo Ochlo. If you're able to eat it, eat it. Vim Lav Mavir Agav Enaf. Then just simply pass it over your eyes. And that helps the eyesight. Interesting. Amar Papa Bigargiri Mitzarana. It's only a mustard that's grown on the borders of other vegetables. It seems that has that this quality of bring back the eyesight. This reminds me of the Gemara where it's in Brachos that says a person who loses eyesight, if he looks at the Kiddush wine Friday night, that apparently brings back the eyesight. And there's another, I think some Rishonim say, it doesn't mean when you look at it, if you take some of the wine and you put it on top of your eyes, that apparently helps the eyesight. So this seems like a very similar Gemara as well with this mustard. And Amar Rav Gidal, Amar Rav, Achsanai, Lo Yocha Beitzim, Lo Yasham, Bitalisel Shababayas. And a person who's a guest in a person's house should not eat eggs and don't sleep in the talis of the Babayas. It explains Rashi. See Rashi, a couple lines down, Lo Yocha Beitzim, Shemivinli, they carry, Umizgana Albanei Abayas. And it's going to be, disgusting in the eyes of the host. Lo Yisham, Bitalisel Shababayas, Shehu Miskasib, Babayom, Shelo Yimatsay, Love Carry. So that reason, don't eat eggs and don't sleep in the talus of your host. After this whole discussion, it's brought down the Ma'aril writes that all these things that the Kohen Gadol shouldn't eat every Yom Kippurim, any person, everyone, should not eat these types of foods, either by the Sudas Mafsekis as well, for the same reason, so it shouldn't lead to any carry, and the Ramah, in fact, brings this down, Lalacha, these items should not be eaten. Pri Chadash writes, this is only a Chumr, it's only Midas Chasidus, this is, the Gemaras only say this particularly by the Kohen Gadol, doesn't say this by anybody else, but l'chachila, it sounds like from the Ramah, one should certainly avoid eating these foods at the Sudas Masakis before Yom Kippur.
Eggs?
That's, yeah.
All of them doesn't seem to be that way.
No, we're talking about Yom Kippur, though. Not in Tisha B'Av. So again, I'm not sure if there's a minhag not to have eggs, but I thought you meant Tisha B'Av where the dafka, we were supposed to have eggs. That's what I thought you meant. But again, not a big deal. It seems to be just midas chasidus not to have these. That means no meat. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why the custom is in Erev Yom Kippurim to have chicken dafka chicken. That's just brought down not to have meat, to have chicken. It should be a meat meal because it's supposed to be a suda. It's not supposed to be a sad suda like Tisha B'Av. It's supposed to be a happy suda. It's supposed to be in place of the suda that really should have been on Yom Kippur. There should be a celebration and a way of eating, but technically we can't eat on Yom Kippur. So we have the meal before Yom Kippur. So it should be some type of fleshic meal, but they advise having chicken instead of meat. I think for one of the reasons is this. Okay. Continues the Gemara now. Rav Kimikle le Darshis, when Rav visited the place of Darshis, Machriz, he announced, Man Hava Leyoma. It's a very interesting language. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Man Hava Leyoma, Yesh Isha Shetinase Li Leyoma, Shes Akeb Kan, Vetecha Lachem Kan. I'm staying over for a couple nights here. Is there any single woman available for me for the next couple nights? This is what he used to announce when he'd go to the city. Fascinating Gemara. Rav Nachman Kad Mikle, the word Kad is Kishel, Dal and Shin switch, Kishel. When he would visit Lishichas Chantziv, this place, Machriz Man Havel Yom. He would also announce, anyone available for the next week or so while I'm here. So very strange. Hatani, the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Lo Yisa Adam Isha B'midina Zuvu Yoach V'Isha Isha B'midina Acheres. A person shouldn't get married in one city and have children and go to another city and have other children because you can't keep track of all your children. And Shema Yizdav Guzei Tazeh. And you never know. A son from this wife, a daughter from that wife, they don't know who their father is because he's traveling from place to place and they can end up marrying each other, brother and a sister. And the entire world could be filled with mamzeros because of this. And this pasuk says, Umala Haaretz Zima, and the world is full of Zima. Which is a reference to the Mamzerus. So how is this possible? So beside the fact that it's a very strange Gemara, that the Amoraim would actually do this, the Ben Yehoyada asks on this Gemara, how is this possible? I don't remember what he answers. But he's also troubled, how do we, you know, what's going on in the Gemara here, that can have some self-control for a few days. These Amoraim we're talking about here. So, okay, well, yeah, I'm not sure exactly what he answers,
when
but...
When they say Rav, is Rabbi Yehuda Nasi?
No, that Rebbe would be Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Oh. Rav was an Amora, but Rav is actually an Amora who had the ability of a Tana. The Tana was the people who write the Mishnayos. Amorim were the ones who wrote the Gemara. Amorim came afterwards and were not as great. But Rav was unique, the Gemara says. He had the ability to argue in a Tana. That's how good he was. So, the Gemara, what the Gemara is troubled by here again is, how is it possible to have a wife in this city and then you know, a wife in that city and the children can't know who's your father and end up marrying each other?
Okay.
So explain to the Gemara, Amri Rabbanan Kala Islehu. When Rashi says, Vishmam Karu Abnem, when you're the son of Rav, when you're the daughter of Rav or Rav Nachman, you know, and everybody knows who you are, it's not going to be, if you're a nobody, so then you can't keep track of your children. But when your father is a known gadol, so then you know who's your father, and this is not such a concern. So Gemara says, but there seems to still be another problem. If a man asks a woman to marry him, will you marry me? The lach is, nispaisa, and she agrees. She has to wait 7 clean days. It's called dam chimud. The chimud, the desire to get married. She gets so excited when she gets someone asked to marry, and she said yes. The excitement causes dam. It's called dam chimud. So they announce. He gets to the city. He announces who's available for me to marry, and a girl obviously, says, "I am."
Obviously, there's a line.
Is that what?
There's a line.
What do you mean a line?
To marry the guy.
Fine. So finally they make a shidduch. He gets to make a shidduch. But Lemaisa, she's not allowed to be with him because she sees Dam Chimud. And there's Shivan Akim. He has to wait 7 clean days and he could leave by then. So what's accomplished by this whole thing? So explain to Gemara. Rabban Odeyu have a modayluhu, mikedem have a mekam dame, umishade shluchay. No, they would send in advance. He knows his schedule, his business schedule, where he's going to speak or where he's going to do some business. So he sends some messengers ahead a week, and that everyone will be prepared. And by the time he gets there, she won't have Shimon Akim will be over, and they could be with each other. Ibai's aim, alternatively, Yehuda have a miyachdeluhu. There wasn't any tashrus. There was no touching that was going on. Rather, simple yichud that was taking place. That concept that the fact that he very knows he has a wife there, that's comfortable for him enough and doesn't have to be nichshal in any way. Even though the maisa, they can't be with each other because she has to wait to Shivan Akim, still nonetheless the pas pasalo is enough. Okay, so a number of factors come out of this. There's a long tosos here. We have time. I'm not sure if it's worthwhile to go through. You guys could decide if you want to read it. Not a hard tosos here. It's probably worth it. Let's read through at least. We have time to at least the narrow lines of tosos.
Sure.
So let's look at Rashi for one moment. Sorry, Rashi says Yichud Ba'alma. He says Yichud Ba'alma Ve'ein Niskakin Lahen. They can't be with each other. Elisha Nasa Isha, one who marries a woman, Ein Misavak Kimisha Ein Lo Isha. He doesn't have the taiva as much as a man without a woman, without a wife. So this is Yichud's enough. If you look over at Tosos now, Yichud Ba'alma Havu Michadilu. Tosos quotes from Rashi, Peres Rashi, Lo Hayu Mibon Alein El Mischachtim Imahim. They don't have Tashmish, rather they have Yichud together. Vesulo, and there's nothing more than Yichud. Hikshir Yitzchak, Yitzchak asks, Im Kain, Kaven Da Surin Lavo Alein, my Pas Basalo Ika. Once they can't be with each other, there's no pas pasalo anymore. He doesn't have any comfort in that. They can't be with each other. It's not pas pasalo. Pas pasalo means when you have a wife, you've been with a wife once before, and then you have that comfort. The ode. I skipped a line here. The chobas nida is a problem. The chobas nida, we don't allow yichud.
We don't allow
yichud. That's the kashi, yes. That's what he means, exactly. He asks that question later on, exactly. Mihu. Ha yeshlomar came in the shara la'achar shiva. Pas Pasal Queen of Bay. No, but since after 7 clean days they'll be permitted with each other, that's already considered Pas Pasalo.
But why to get married to begin with?
Oh, so that's because he's going to be away from his wife for however many times, you know, days, and he didn't want to be Nichshal on something else, so getting married would be the safest route.
to waste so much time and so much process. And,
anyway,
obviously he's not going to be with us, so what's the point?
Oh, so that's what we're trying to figure out. So according to Rashi, says, oh, once is enough for Yichud, so that's good enough. Meaning just the fact that they're with each other in the same room, even though they can't be with each other, that's enough to satisfy his desire.
Think about it now. He doesn't need to waste the time with this because he did the mitzvah, so we're doing the toys. And do I make a sense? No.
I mean, again, I'm not sure how much time is being wasted. He sends a messenger in front. Okay, he meets a nice woman, and that's it.
Let's talk how's the weather.
Okay, so then Tosis continues, and he says, so first he suggests maybe it's possible that you're right, Lamaisa, there can be Tashmish. The fact that in 7 days from now, after Shimon Akim, they'll be mutter to be with each other, that would be considered pas pasalo, according to Tosfos. So Tosfos continues and says, V'od, furthermore, Hikshu, Heichin shar liyichud v'hadayu. How do you permit yichud at all? Is what Adam was asking. V'homa repair kama b'ksubas, the first pair of ksubas, davdal, misha pierce ishto nida v'lo baal, so man and woman get married. Problem is, before they have Tashmish, she gets nida. They've never been with each other before. It happens. Chupas nida. Nowadays, it's less likely because they can control it. But if it happens, and it does happen, so what's the din? So they're married, but they've never been with each other. But she's a nida, and they can't be with each other until nida's over. Halacha is, says the Gemara, hu yashen bein ha'anashim. He has to sleep with other men there. V'isha yashen bein ha'anashim, and she has to sleep among women, and they can't be with each other. They can't sleep in the same room until they've had tashmish one time. And the way it works, actually, it's quite embarrassing this does happen. The way it usually works is that if they're staying, let's say, at a parent, one of the parents' house, they'll have like a little kid just sleep in the same room. That's the eight of the get around it without getting so embarrassing, but this does happen. So that's what happens. So you see, there can be yichud if there's nida. And this case is they've never been married before, and she's nida, because she has dam chimed for 7 days. So what's how's this a solution? Yichud is not permitted. Tosus continues, Lahachi perish ri, therefore re-explained the chiamri man haviliyoma, when they would announce, whose day, who's available today for me? The Rebbe would say, who's available? Rav comes to the city, who's available for me? Lo amri man haviliyoma li ba'el. He doesn't say, who's available for Tashmish? Ela li yuchuda bahadei ba'ama, who's available to have yichud with me? V'cheven shahayu omrim lahem kach, rak li yachid imahim, since they only say, just to have yichud, lo hayro stam machmas chimer. Dam chimer would come when a woman would get excited, when a man would say, I want to marry you, and there'd be tashmish. That would be the ultimate goal. Then she'd get excited and there'd be dam chimer. But if the announcement was simply, who wants to go on a date with me, let's say? Who wants to have yichud? That wouldn't get her excited. And then once she wouldn't get excited, and then they get married, there wouldn't be dam chimer, then tashmish would be allowed. That's what would be a way to get around dam chimer. Let's have yichud together, whatever that means, and then there would be no dam chimer. Okay, we have to do the rest of Tosos, that's enough. But that's the idea, that's how Tosos wiggles out of the problem of Rashi. That's the announcement again was, don't say who's available to have Tashmish with me, who's available to have Yichud with me, and that would not create Dam Chiman. Now the Gemara, the Achronim asks the following very interesting question. The Gemara in Darm, Daf Chof Amr Beis asks that one of the talks in depth about various Minhagim during Tashmish. And one of the lines that the Gemara says is, that a husband who plans on divorcing his wife is not allowed to have bia with his wife, and if he does, those children will be considered b'nei grushas halev, they're called. That's his title to them, b'nei grushas halev. Not a good thing. If a man plans on divorcing his wife, he shouldn't have tashmish with her. So according to this Gemara here, they all ask, well, the Rav is coming to the city for a week, 2 weeks. He's coming temporarily. He plans on marrying her, being with her, and then divorcing her when he leaves the city. So is this considered b'nei grushas halev? The Achronim asks. You're smiling. Yep.
I'm just thinking this Gemara that says that Bante the Rav Nachman and Gittin were not very good women. It says that they did kishuf and there was all mice and Gittin got the daughters of Rav Nachman.
Correct.
He's one of the people here who are involved in this type of mice here. I don't know.
It was Rav Nachman's daughters. Those were the one by the that got captured.
Yeah.
that's interesting. Okay, I hear that. So they didn't think they were in Choshed Rav Nachman for that, but they say different answers around this. A few answers I have listed here is that these Rabbanim had in mind that if the wives that they would mate for this week or 2 week stint, if they were to get pregnant, they would decide not to get divorced. It was only tonight. If they didn't get pregnant, so they'd divorce them. If they were to get pregnant, then they wouldn't divorce them. Because the issue is not the actual tashmish is the problem. The actual problem is the children that are generated from the tashmish. So they had that such a tenai. If there's no children, so then I'll divorce her. If there will be children, I won't divorce her. other answer given.
So they would give a get at the night that she wasn't pregnant.
I guess they wouldn't know after 2 weeks necessarily, right, but so I guess like, I guess something like that, some fancy get.
Uh-huh. So like we learned with the Kohen Gadol.
Right, right. Adam actually did that daf. I wasn't feeling well, so he substituted. Uh-huh. He did. I actually knew it was a hard daf.
Should say David.
David. So then the other answer they give is the only iser exists if you didn't let your wife know. If you let your wife know, listen, I'm here for 2 weeks. I plan on divorcing in 2 weeks, and she's okay with that. So then this is not bechlal, the din of b'nei grushas halev. And then thirdly, they would only ask to marry a woman who wasn't able to get pregnant. Either she was too old or had some other biological issue. They'd only want to be with a woman who wasn't able to get pregnant to avoid these issues.
It's only according to the manamar that they actually had be, according to the one that was just...
Exactly. According to Rashi, this is not
an issue at all.
Exactly.
Okay.
One other issue they raise here, did they write a ksuba? You said this is take time. They go in, why waste all the time? So was there no mention of a ksuba at all? So some achorim say there was no ksuba because they treated these women as a pilegish. The Gemara in Psachim, right? We saw in Psachim. The Gemara in Psachim says, and in Sanhedrin, that a pilegish is below ksuba. It wasn't kedushin. Kedushin is with a real wife, is a kedushin with a ksuba. A pilegish is without ksuba. So these were pilegishim. It was a pilegish without a ksuba. Others say, no, they only married an almana. An almana who gets remarried, the chi of a ksuba is only din derabanan. So din derabanan, they didn't write a ksuba. So they only married widows. Okay, so these are very interesting gemaras. Most interesting is why exactly these great gedolim had to do this, which I think the straight muster is that you read throughout gemaras, they were also regular people. Not regular people, but... they also had taivas, and we should also not think, oh, we can't be at those levels. It's a completely normal thing that even Rav Rav Nachman had to have set aside themselves wives as well when they went away for a couple weeks.
There was what? Less of a problem with such a level of spirituality and knowledge. And
what do you mean?
They're not regular people.
No, I don't mean regular people. I'm saying, but...
Like you say yourself, Rav was like in the same level of Tanaim.
No, but at the same time, to realize that, you know, having a type of these things...
I would think even differently. That mm-hmm. the whole marriage process was in order to be with a woman, not to be one day without a woman, but not for Bia or Ichud or whatever, because there's in that topic to have a woman at all time. Because... The panimis of women, it's all different subject. Not for Ichud, or not for Bia, or not for Nida, or nothing for that. Obviously, I would think that's not the issue with them, with those kind of people.
Okay, so I hear what you're saying, but according to Rashi, Rashi says the whole point is for the Taiva. Rashi says, once you have Ichud, there's Ein Masave Kimish Ein Lo Isha. There's no Taiva anymore. So Rashi's talking in terms of Taiva. So I don't think anyone should think, at least in our world, certainly, when I give chasm classes, I tell them, don't think that having a taiva for these things is something bad. There's a Rashi in...
You must have taiva, otherwise how can...
Yeah, that's the point. So even Rav of Nachman, who were gedolim, completely different levels than we are, they also had taivas.
Yeah.
So that's the point I'm trying to say, that it's a very normal thing. Rashi in Bresha says, after the chet of Adam and Rishon, so there is mosif taiva, more taiva was added to the world. So that implies that before the chet, there was taiva also. I mean, part of the way the world was created in the, in the perfect world, there taiva existed. And the Gemara and Yuma will say later on, much later on, probably a couple of months, that they daven that there should be no taiva for Avodah Zarah.
Even the chickens didn't.
And they daven for no taiva for Arayos. The world couldn't exist without the taiva. So the taiva is a necessary part of the world. So I think that's one of the things we see from this Gemara.
Right.
Okay, let's finish off with this Mishnah. Mishnah concludes, Masru Zikne Basin Lezikne Kuna. So now, after the Kohen Gadol spent some time with the previous Mishnah with the elders of the Basin and learning all the halachas of what happened in the Seder Avodas Yom Kippur, they learned Achrimos, they learned all the other Avodas, they brought them over to the elders of the Kuna now. Nevehalu Beis Avtinus, they brought them to the Lishka, which we mentioned already last week, they brought them to the special Lishka called Beis Avtinus. What took place in Beis Avtinus? Avtinus was the family that knew they had the minug of the Mesorah of performing the Ketores the proper way. Their spices had to mix them together. So Vishpiu, these elders made the Kohen Gadol make the following promise that he wouldn't change anything about it, because at those times the Tzedukim, they used to take the way it's supposed to be done. It's just supposed to bring the fire, the coals, and the incense together in the Kodesh Kedoshim, and it burns and all the smoke comes out. They would actually put them together outside the Kodesh Kodashim and the Tzedukim, and then bring them in while it's been smoking ready beforehand. So they made him promise not to change the order of doing the Ketores properly. So v'hishbiu, the Gemara said, the Mishnah says, they made him swear. V'niftaru, and they separated from each other. V'halchu lahem, and they went on their own ways. And v'amrulo, they say to him, Ishi Kohen Gadol, you, Master Kohen Gadol, Anu Shlucha Beis Din, we are the representing Beis Din here. V'ata, and you, Kohen Gadol, Shluchanu, and you are our messenger. V'shleach Beis Din Mashpin Anu, and the Shleach Beis Din is making us promise, Alech on you, V'misha Shachin Shmo Baisazeh, in the name of the one who rests here, namely Yakarish Baruch Hu, Shlo Tishana Dover Mikol Masha Amar Nelucha, you don't change anything that we taught you today. Who Por Shaboka, he separates, he turns away to the side and starts to cry. Vahain portion of Boka, and they begin, they turn the other way, and everybody cries. Why are they crying? So I think the Gemara explains why, that the fact that they have to even come to this point of making someone swear. You're making the Kohen Gadol swear that you do the Avodah the right thing? We spent the whole day, or a lifetime, learning about Avodah Yom HaKippurim, and they're concerned he's going to change something? So they're crying to the point that they got to this level, such a low level, that they have to make him swear to make sure he doesn't change anything. The Gemara will explain that. Now, im hu haya chacham, if he was a smart, learned individual, Dorish, he'd give a drasha, he'd learn with them. Rashi explains, b'davar halacha, kol leil yom ha-kippurim, shelo yashin v'yira keri, we don't want him to sleep. We don't want to see any keri, so he darshins the entire night. Vim lav, if he wasn't a tamid chacham, tamidei chachamim, dorishin lefanov, they have students of the base measures come and learn with him. Vim ragel likos, if he's comfortable reading Tanakh, kari, he'd read Tanakh. Vim lav, if he wasn't comfortable reading Tanakh, Karin Lefanov, they would read Tanakh in front of him. Uvemek Karin, what would they read? Which sections of Tanakh? Karin Lefanov, Be'iov, Be'ezra, B'divrei Hayamim, Zechariah ben Kavutal, Omrim Pamim, Harbe Karisi Lefanov, B'Daniel, various parts of Tanakh, which Rashi explains, and it's the last Rashi in the page, Be'iov, Ve'ezra, V'chule, Shein Dvar Mamshich and Salev, L'Shomim, they're interesting stories that kind of keep a person awake, Vein Shinim Echot Faso. So these interesting stories were from Eov and the, you know, very sad stories, Ezra. So one last point here, it's brought down halacha based on a Pi Kabbalah that one shouldn't learn Tanakh at nighttime. Tanakh is meant.
Really?
Yeah. Mishnah is for nighttime and Tanakh is for daytime. It's actually a medrash that says, had Moshe Rabbeinu know when it was day, when it was night, when he's upstairs learning in Shemayim with the Kadosh Baruch Hu for 40 days, 40 nights. So the medrash says, whenever Kadosh Baruch Hu was teaching a Mishnah, he knew it was the nighttime. When Kadosh Baruch Hu started learning Tanakh, he knew it was the daytime.
I do the opposite. I have to switch around.
So you ask who, you know, you can ask those Alderach MS, but that's...
Where does it say that?
It's brought down.
It's in the Gemara? Or?
It's not Gemara. I think the Mishnah Berurah might even bring it down. I think so. I think it's brought down in Mishnah Berurah. I could look up again. So either way, but according to that, Alderach MS, which means Al-Pi Kabbalah, how was the Kohen Gadol able to learn Tanakh? Eov, Ezra, Daniel, at nighttime, Divrei Yomim. So they explain an interesting Arizal. Arizal says, when it comes to already Thursday night, entering into Friday, one's permitted to learn Tanakh. Why? Because the reason why you can't, it's beyond my understanding, but nighttime is midin gvura. It's midas adin, nighttime. But with Shabbos, everything becomes rachamim. So already the Thursday night entering to Shabbos, the midas rachamim takes over. So even at nighttime, you're allowed to learn Tanakh. So they say the same thing also when it comes to Leil Yom HaKippurim, which is called Shabbos Shabbos, and also called Shabbos, the Din of Rachamim takes over, which allows them to even learn Tanakh on Leil Yom HaKippurim. Now, what Rachamim Din has to do with learning Tanakh, I don't really know, but that's what I saw brought down in the name of the Arizal. Okay, so we'll stop here, and we'll pick up tomorrow.